If you have your Bible this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We're going to be looking at verses 31 through 34 and then also verses 54 through 62. Have you ever made a bad decision before? Only one no, and I think that was a lie. That's a bad decision to lie in church. That wasn't very good at all. But there are times that we have the best intentions, but for some reason or another, we just don't make the right decision. There are times that we are so adamant, we're going to do things right this time. We're not going to mess up. We're going to be faithful and serve God the way He wants us to be faithful and serve Him, only to find ourselves moments later or days later doing the very thing we decided we were not going to fall into. That's the story of Peter this morning as we look at Luke 22. The story of Peter is one of adamant faithfulness. Lord, I will never leave you or forsake you. And in the moment, in the mere passing of hours, we find him fulfilling the prophecy of Christ and rejecting his Savior. We're going to read Luke 22, verses 31 through 34 to start and see how adamant he is on his faithfulness. And I want you to ask yourself the question, have I ever spoken this way about God? Have I ever looked at God and said, I will be with you for forever? And then we're going to ask ourselves the question if we can identify with Peter in the later part of Luke 22 as well. Starting in verse 31, Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So in verse 31, we have Jesus beginning to talk to Peter, also named Simon, and saying, I've prayed that your faith will not fail, but Satan is after you. And you will fall, and when you turn back, you are to be strengthened. Now, when God looks at you and says you will fail, ultimately we need to acknowledge God knows better than we know. But Simon Peter is not like most of us. He doesn't listen to the words of God. He sticks to his guns and is adamant in his defense. Lord, he told him, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Have you ever looked at God and said, Lord, I will do whatever you call me to do. If you want me to go to prison or even to death, I will follow you. Jesus responds, I tell you, Peter, he said, the rooster will not crow today until you deny three times that you know me. I read this passage, verses 31 through 34, and think, I've been in Peter's shoes before. I've looked at God and said, I will follow you and be faithful no matter what you do. No matter what you put me through, I will be there. Lord, nothing will shake my faith, and I promise and I pledge to follow you all the days of my life. Send me to prison, I'm there. Send me to a cross, I will follow. Whatever you tell me to do, Lord. And I look out this morning and I see a lot of faces that I'm going to guess have made similar pledges in their faith. Lord, where you go, I will go. Where you send me, I will follow. Whatever you tell me to do, no matter the cost, I'm there for you. We see a pledge of faithfulness over and over and over again. We make a pledge of faithfulness over and over and over again. Maybe it was a time of firm commitment for you. Lord, I'm making sure of my salvation in this moment, and I trust you. Maybe it was a time of bartering for you. Lord, if you will get me through, I will fill in the blank. Maybe it's a time that you felt on a spiritual high, or maybe it's a time that you were on a spiritual low. But I have a feeling that many of you in here have said the words similar to what Simon Peter is saying here. I'm ready to go with you, no matter where you send me. Just a few hours later, we find Jesus has been arrested, and he's been taken away from his disciples, and we see Simon Peter's prophecy being fulfilled. It says, they seized him and led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. That is Jesus. They've led him to the high priest's house. Meanwhile, Peter was following, notice where he's following, at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, and Peter sat among them. When a servant saw him sitting in the light and looked closely at him, she said, this man was with him too. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him. After a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You're one of them too." "Man, I am not," Peter said. About an hour later, another kept insisting, "This man was certainly with him, since he's also a Galilean." We see elsewhere in the Gospels that he had a thick accent that gave him away as a Galilean, like Jesus was a Galilean. But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Now, I wonder this morning if we can identify with Peter's proclamation, "I will follow you wherever you go." And I wonder if we can identify with his rejection. Maybe hours, days, weeks, months, or even years later, we find ourselves denying the very promise we've made before God. I, for one, can identify with Peter in every aspect of this. I certainly have pledged, "Lord, where you send me, I will go." And there are times I've ran so far away from God, I am ashamed and don't even feel worthy for him to take me back. This morning, I wonder what we can learn from Peter's pledge of promise and, more truthfully, his rejection. And so I want to take just a brief moment over the next few minutes as we look at this passage and try to identify with Peter in his rejection. Try to identify with Peter as someone who rebels against God, knowing that all of us find ourselves there, but knowing that Peter is ultimately redeemed. One of the beautiful parts of this story, and Luke doesn't include it in his gospel, but it's included in the other gospels, is that Jesus does redeem Peter. It's funny that Peter is prayed for by Jesus, that your faith will not fail, and then does his faith fail? Absolutely. But Jesus has a few key words for him. He says, "But when you come back," there's a promise. "Peter, you're not going to stay in your failure. When you come back, strengthen your brothers." We read about this in the other Gospels. When Jesus has risen from the dead, he specifically calls out to Peter. And when he looks at Peter, he asks him three times, "Do you love me? Then serve me." Three times, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Care for my flock. Do you love me?" Three times he asks, as a reminder that even though you denied me three times, I know your love is still strong. So this morning, as we try to identify with Peter, maybe we're in the midst of our rejection and denial. Can we cling to that promise of God, those hope-giving words, "When you come back," and learn from Peter's rejection this morning? Three observations I think we need to make when we're looking at the rejection of Peter before Christ. The first is our faithfulness is directly related to proximity. Faithfulness is directly related to proximity. Let me rephrase it a different way. The closer you are to Christ, the more faithful you will be. And the further you are from Christ, the less faithful you will be. It's funny to me that Peter did not abandon Jesus in this moment. Many of the apostles scattered. They were afraid and they hid. Peter followed. He was staying close by. Close enough that he could see and observe what was going on. Maybe he had a hope that Jesus would be saved and rescued. Maybe he thought, "I'll be around in case I need to draw my sword and take on another Roman soldier." Maybe he just wanted to see the events unfold. But he was following. He did not abandon Christ. But he certainly was not close by his side. Those words that we read in verse 54 are important. They seized Christ, led him away, and brought him into the high priest's house. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance, right? I'm going to be with you, Jesus, but not too close. I don't want to get close enough that I'm in trouble. I don't want to get close enough that I'll be arrested too. I don't want to get close enough that I might be under trial. I wonder this morning, how many of us follow Jesus this morning? At a distance. We're here at church because, you know, we come to church from time to time and it's something we're supposed to do, but we're just going to be close enough to Jesus this morning. Just enough that we feel comfortable, that we've not abandoned him, but we're certainly not by his side. What we see is the fact that Peter was following it is noble, and we identify with that, but the fact that he stayed at a distance is a warning. When we keep God at a distance, our faithfulness will waver. When we just dabble in our faith, just here and there, when it's convenient for us, when it's safe, and when it's at a reasonable distance, our faithfulness is destined to falter. And so this morning, we need to learn that our faithfulness to God is directly related to how close we remain with Christ. As we distance ourselves from God's word, from who God has called us to be, we find ourselves in temptation. We find ourselves in fear, and we find our faith wavering. Time and time again, people come and talk to me. Pastor, I don't know why, but I feel that God has left me or abandoned me, or I feel as if my faith is not as strong as it once was. And 99 times out of 100, that's not an exact count, but pretty close. 99 times out of 100, I look at that person, I just very bold and say, where have you been? Why haven't I seen you at church? How has your reading been? Have you been studying the Word of God at home? How's your prayer life been? Have you been spending time talking to God? The vast majority of the time, what we find is people who feel like their faith is wavering, that their faith is drifting away, are people who have distanced themselves from God, His church, His Word. This morning, I wonder if we are following Jesus just enough this morning. If we're floating around, wearing our Christian label, but keeping ourselves at a distance because there's danger in being too close to the action. There's a fear of having to change our life or maybe having to deal with some trouble or some trials. There's a danger in being too close, and so we follow like Peter does, but not close enough that our faith would grow. Because Peter was following at a distance, because he was making sure people didn't quickly identify with him, he falls into temptation and ultimately falls into sin. But really, it starts off pretty small, doesn't it? It's not a sin to keep a distance. He's just maybe justifying it because there's a fire over here he's going to warm himself by. It's just kind of a small thing to be at a distance from Christ. But what starts out small grows to be large. It goes from keeping him at a distance to denying affiliation, to denying even knowledge of who he is. And then Mark tells us that the third time he denied it, he actually swore an oath akin to a curse word. I do not know that man. What we learn is that small sin doesn't stay small. Those little things that we do that we justify, it's okay because it's just this one time, or it's just a minor incident. Those things that we keep hidden because they're just not that big a deal never stay small. And so we see the progression of Peter. We see him in verses 56 through 61. When a servant saw him sitting in the light and looked closely at him, she said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him." Here's a denial that he doesn't even have an association. I don't know him personally. I've never sat and talked with him. He's not someone that I'm associated with. After a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You're one of them too." Now here's a denial of identity. "Man, I am not. Not only do I not know who he is, but I don't identify with anything he stands for. I wasn't with him. I don't know who he is." About an hour later, another kept insisting, "This man was certainly with him, since he's also a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about." Now Peter's not only denying an association, he's denying an identity, and he's even denying a knowledge at all of who Jesus is. "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who he is. I'm just here a part of the crowd." His identity has changed from a follower of Christ to a follower of people. And what started off as a small sin of following at a distance has snowballed to three times a rejection of knowing Christ at all. Our small sins do not stay small. They always grow and they always fester. That's why when we have just a small problem with our children, we don't address it and it becomes a large issue. We have a small problem in our marriage. We don't address it, and it becomes a big issue. We have a small problem with a brother or sister in Christ within the church family, and we don't address it, and it becomes a big issue. We have a small problem with someone at work, and it blows out of proportion, and it becomes a big issue. Our small sins must be addressed because small sins do not stay small. This morning, if you're following at a distance, you may pat yourself on the back that you're following, but you let that sin of distance begin to grow, and it will eventually turn into an all-out denial in the way that we live. The last lesson that we can learn from Peter is that there is hope. The story does not end with Peter's rejection, but it ends with his repentance. And even though Luke does not record the passage after the ascension of Jesus asking Peter three times, "Do you love me?" he does show us signs of Peter's repentance. Repentance comes from looking to Christ. Really, we can rewrite this word, and if you're taking notes, you may write it this way. Repentance comes when Christ looks at me. Look at what happens when Peter realizes what he has done. In verses 54 through 62, "Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter." What, there may not be more haunting words that Luke has written thus far. "The Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly." There's a lot of difference in interpretations of what was going through Peter's mind at this moment. When you deny the Savior and he turns and looks you in the eye, was Peter ashamed and embarrassed, so he was running away? Was he upset or angry? I believe that neither one of those is necessarily fully true. I believe Peter had a heart in his weeping of repentance, a genuine breaking. Because when the Lord looks to us, when we make eye contact spiritually with God, when He speaks to us and we hear Him clearly, repentance always comes. This passage isn't much different from Judas's act of repentance or lack thereof. Judas also felt shame for his betrayal. Judas also goes back and tries to make things right, but Judas never looks at Jesus. Judas's story is different. Instead of repenting, Judas takes his guilt, keeps it with him, and ends up committing suicide because of his grief. But Peter's story is one of hope. Peter's story is one that says there is repentance to be found if you look in the right place. Repentance comes when we turn our eyes to God, when we see what He's telling us, when we listen to His words, when we lock eyes with Him spiritually, or in Peter's case, physically. When we know God is looking towards us, we see not eyes of anger, not eyes of wrath, but eyes of a calling for us to weep bitterly and repent. This morning, as we read about Peter's rejection, we identify with his pledge of faithfulness, but oh, how we identify with his rejection. All of us have had times where we are ashamed of how we have treated our relationship with God. This morning, we don't have to follow the path of Judas. We can follow the path of Peter. We can turn our eyes to Christ. We can, right where we're at, or right down at this altar, or right outside, go outside and weep before Him and say, "Lord, I need Your forgiveness and I need Your restoration." This morning, we learn from Peter's rejection that there is hope even in the midst of our sin, that there is forgiveness even in the midst of our rebellion. And this morning, regardless of whether you've come out of a life of sin or whether you need to repent this morning, we can turn our eyes on the God who offers salvation and forgiveness, knowing full well that He offers us complete forgiveness when we turn to Him. Let's pray together. Father, as we look into Your word, we see Peter's heart in verses 31 through 34 to serve You. And Lord, we pray that we would echo those words. We will follow You anywhere You go. Lord, we also know full well that that when we start to distance ourselves from you, and especially when we allow a small sin to start growing in our lives, Lord, that small sin leads to a larger lack of faith. And we end up rejecting you with the way we live our lives. Father, we pray this morning that we would repent as Peter repented, that we would turn our eyes to you, that we would remember your words, that we would seek your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to offer us repentance, to offer us a new life and a new beginning. This morning, we confess our sins to you, our small sins of just staying at a distance, our large sins of letting that sin grow. Lord, we confess them all to you and ask that you would forgive us, that you would pay the penalty for our sins through your Son's death on the cross. And Lord, we renew our commitment to follow you wherever you send us, whether it be to prison or to death, whether it be through hardship or whether it be through persecution. Lord, whether it's in good times or in bad, we follow you as Lord of our lives. Lord, we pray this morning that as we put ourselves in the shoes of Peter, that we would follow you and seek your forgiveness for the times we've rejected. It's in your name we pray. Amen.